Women love to hate nice guys. I know that seems like a contradiction, because if you go online, you'll hear women complaining about where are all the nice guys? Where have they all gone? Women love to divorce a nice guy. There's no question about it. There's nothing better for a woman to walk into a divorce proceeding knowing that she's been married to a nice guy. Because that guy's gonna roll over. That guy's gonna go submissive. It's like Debu, you know? He comes at me and he just falls on the floor, paws up, just giving me his belly. That's what a nice guy does, you know? Today, I want to talk to you guys a little bit about what it is to be a nice guy. I'm going to throw a definition on there that you're going to agree with and maybe is going to cause you some consternation. But this is Life 2.0. Let's talk about it. Last night, I was talking to this guy who is a self-professed nice guy. He is. He's as delightful as anybody you'll ever come across. And his wife threw him out 6 months ago. And he's been scratching his head ever since, thinking, well, what did I do wrong? Now, he's recently heard from his teenage sons, who are still living with his ex, or soon to be ex, that she definitely seems to have a new boyfriend. She has been on those GLP-1 drugs. You know, she's been losing weight. She's been improving the look. She's getting a boob job. She is looking for nice guy number two. She's going out. Now, she's about 45 years old. So she's right at that cusp where over the next 10 years, there is no question that she is not going to be crazy hot. She's just going to be crazy. And her likelihood of ever attracting another man is diminishing day by day. So she's doing everything she can to load the gun to go hunting. And she's looking for you nice guys out there. She's gonna be on the make here very, very soon. So take cover, because she's out there. But this poor guy, you know, he's got a good life. He really does. He's a golf pro. He lives in a great place. He's a nice guy. He's got it all. But this woman has dominated him. Not because she was a dominant woman, but because he felt compelled to be everything that she needed him to be. He was a good dad, you know, taking a lot of responsibility for the kids. If she needed something done, he would do it. No questions asked. He tried to play every role that he could play. And that's why, as he looks back on their marriage, it's really difficult for him to understand what he did wrong. So how do you end up becoming a nice guy? Because I don't think any of us are born as nice guys. I don't think any of us are thrust into it, you know, or we aspire to be a nice guy. Part of it is the false choice, I think, that we are offered as men, in terms of being masculine and what that actually means. And another part of it has to go to the process of seduction and what we believe is necessary in order to seduce a woman. So let's break these things down. We'll start with the masculinity first, because I think we are faced with a false choice on some level. There are guys who are very demonstrably masculine, but frequently that demonstration of masculinity is a cover-up for deep insecurity. And so, as men, I think that most of us have the ability to kind of see through that crap. We can kind of tell when someone's faking it versus when someone is really got the goods, you know? So they demonstrate this level of masculinity, and we recognize it as a fraud. And we want to push back away from that. And so we think, I will be a nice guy, and that will differentiate me from these crazy guys, because these guys are clearly out of their minds. The thing that we don't recognize is that masculinity in and of itself is not the problem. It's the false demonstration or the trying to impress people, the peacocking, that is the problem. Masculinity as an internal characteristic that we identify with is powerful. And when we are not taught that, or we don't learn it along the way, we don't know how to, what's the right word? How to guide our own masculinity in a manner that will help us achieve the goals that we have for ourselves. So we end up abandoning it somewhere along the way. And what's left is we look for signals from the culture, from media, as to what it means to be a man in a relationship with a woman. And of course, the media has done a really terrible job of giving us healthy role models. And so we end up falling into the trap of being a sitcom dad. Well, sitcom dads aren't real. And they certainly don't attract a lot of women. I mean, Homer Simpson obviously is the worst case scenario. And I'm not using him as the example here, but you get the idea, you know? So I think that's number one. Number two, the seduction process. So when you're seducing a woman, especially a young woman, you'll do anything you can to impress her. You'll say anything, you'll be anything. You just want her to like you. You just want her to touch you. She wants you, you want her to commit to you on some level, emotionally, physically, whatever. So you try to be whatever you can be. But in that process, without even realizing it, you're losing yourself because you're not being who you really are. You're being who you think she needs you to be. And that trains you because you're getting rewarded for it, hopefully. Because you're being rewarded, you're psychologically being trained by her to be what she needs you to be. And that's the insidious part. That's where it gets kind of ugly, because now you're being the good boy, you're being the good dad, the good man, the good husband, the good lover, because she's giving you all the sex that you want in response to all the good things that you've done. Until at some point, like any drug dealer, she decides to withhold and up the price. That's exactly what happens. You know, the price goes up. And if you are unable to pay that price that she's asking, then you are no longer going to be rewarded. And as soon as that happens, that sex gets withdrawn and your relationship starts to fall and fail. And so now, just like any junkie, you're going to do anything you can within your power to get another hit of that good stuff, man. You're going to do whatever you can. And so you start simping. This is where the simp is born, right here at this moment. It's at that crisis point where sex has been withdrawn. You have been submitting all this time. You have been the man that she needs you to be. And now she's raising the price on the drug that you need to stay committed to this relationship. So rather than abandoning the relationship, which is probably the right thing to do, realizing this has been a complete waste of time, that you have made too many mistakes to undo them, you double down. You double down on the simping, and well, things just get worse and worse and worse. And as along the way, she just loses respect for you. So that's why women love to hate nice guys, because they create them. They take a man from the very beginning who is unsure of himself as a masculine energy in his own life. She manipulates him with sex to a certain degree, and she controls him until he becomes completely committed to her. And then she starts playing games with it. Divorcing nice guys is a national pastime. I think women have turned this into the number one sport in America, at least for women, because this is where the great payoff comes. So they have committed themselves to this man, and they have trained him to be the man that they want them to be, they want him to be. They've created an environment where she is clearly dominant. She's making all the decisions. She's calling all the shots. She's in control of the money. Hell, she's even in control of the separation and to some degree even the divorce. She has taken the leadership role in this relationship from beginning to end. And so now, as a nice guy, you're living in some, you know, one bedroom apartment, you know, paying her mortgage, paying for her food bill, paying for your kids, and you're paying for your own apartment and your own expenses. And you're scratching your head, wondering to yourself, what happened to that woman that you married? You know, where was that woman that you thought was so wonderful, that had all these characteristics that you believed would be beneficial to you at some point? And the truth of the matter is, she never existed. You were fooling yourself from the very beginning. And I know this because I have done this myself quite a few times, you know, where you create a narrative to describe someone that you're in love with. But we throw that word around so loosely that we don't really have a clear definition. And as a result, we find ourselves committed in relationships that are not really all that loving at all. Now, maybe we think they are, maybe we act like they are, and maybe we go along with it, you know, but really, if you get down to it and you start defining what does it mean to be in a loving relationship, you find that you're absolutely not in one. Gen X men, I think, probably have it the worst. And the reason I say that is because it was really our generation, and maybe to some degree the baby boomers, you know, to a certain degree, but certainly our generation whose experience with women in sex was really significantly different than those who came before, because the pill, you know, became widely used, you know, starting in the 1960s, but wasn't really widely used until the 1970s and 80s. And by the time the 1980s came around, doctors were prescribing it to women just to regulate their menstrual cycles. I mean, they had this pill thing, you know, to a science. There was all kinds of different intensities, different, you know, formulas, and there were lots of options that women had for birth control, more than ever had existed before. So starting a relationship with sex was commonplace. Now, men have always wanted to start relationships with sex. Like, sex is what motivates us to have relationships. Let's get clear about that. When we're young and we're men, sex is it. That's even why you're talking to a woman. If it wasn't for your drive to have sex, I guarantee you, you would not be hanging out with her. You know, you're not gonna play with the Easy Bake Oven or whatever. That's not your thing. Let me move down here. So, women learned, and this is as a result of the pill and feminism to a certain degree, that sex gives them an enormous amount of leverage and power in a relationship. And they can use that sex as they wish to get the results they want from men. Most women, regardless of how attractive they are, but most women can use sex as a tool to manipulate at least some, if not most, men. As men, we have enjoyed this, but we haven't been fully aware of the trap that we're walking into, because it is a bit of a trap. We think that we're the pursuer, that we're the hunter, that we're going after them, that we're the ones that are trying to achieve, you know, something, and ideally a sexual encounter. But the reality is, they're hunters too. But they're just playing it differently than us. They are on the passive side of this thing. They have what we want, and they have the ability to decide whether they're going to give it to us or not. I have spent a long time looking back over all of the sexual partners that I've had, and I can say almost without question that sex, even though I was pursuing it, it was them who finally made the decision. Like, they finally, at some point, and sometimes it was early in the relationship, decided that they wanted to have sex with me. And oftentimes, they were the one that initiated the first sex act, which is fascinating, you know? Because that's not the way the movies portray it. Because I think as men, we're always on the make for it. But it's when the woman makes a decision, and if we haven't gotten in tune with whatever she's thinking at that moment, she'll just make the move and just do it. And that happened to me more times than I can count. Which tells me that it wasn't like I had convinced them. It was like they oftentimes, by the time the sex happened, I had kind of given up. Do you know what I mean? It was like, I don't think this is going to happen. I'm not going to waste any more time on it. And the minute I turned that corner, man, the sex came. It was like, oh, here it comes. Now I'm getting it. It's because she felt like she was losing control of the relationship. She felt like maybe I wasn't that interested in her for some reason. And I was not making my move. And she was trying to give me the signals. And I was just too dumb to pick up on them. And so she just had to take control of it. And she was the one who initiated the sex. And that started me down a path in a relationship with someone that I really didn't have strong feelings for, but I was really physically attracted to, but didn't know anything about her as a person. And that is the danger. That's where we have caused our problems. We do not fall in love with women for who they are. We fall in love with women for what they can do for us. And that's the problem. The worst part of this whole situation is that most women understand this scenario, and most men are clueless to it. That means that out there in the world where these interactions are occurring, men think they're playing one game, when in reality there's a whole other game being played. And the odds are so stacked against them, there's no chance that they're going to win in the end, or very little chance that they're going to win in the end. Because women understand our motivations clearly. And they understand their power in their relationship, especially at the beginning, in terms of granting us access to sex or not access to sex. And they also understand that once we get a taste of it, we want more, and we become like a drug addict. And we think we need it. We think that it is something that we have to have in order to regulate our brains, our nervous systems, our psychology, our hormones, whatever. We fall into this trap of the euphoria that we get from that experience. And if we get it frequently enough, if we're getting it every other day or so, well, it's really easy for us to think that we are in love with this woman, when really all we're in love with is having sex, which we're biologically programmed to love. So we came that way. She had nothing to do with it. But we're too stupid to realize that. We're too stupid to understand that, yeah, it's not her, it's you. You know, you're biologically programmed to procreate, you know? And biology doesn't care whether she's a good person or not. Biology only cares about one thing, that she's got the equipment and she's capable of, you know, procreating with you. And if she says yes, then she's a mate, she's a match. That's all you care about. And unfortunately, in today's day and age, with all the technologies and the cultural influences and all of the complexities of relationships, we cannot play the game that way. Maybe we could do that in the 10,000 years ago in the hunter-gatherer days. But today, we need to play the game from a more intelligent perspective. The only way that you can have a healthy relationship with a woman is if you don't have sex with her for an extended period of time. What I mean by that is, if you start your relationship with sex, your destiny is going to go one of two ways. Either you're going to be her bitch, or you're going to have to ghost her. Like, that's the way it ends up. Like, if you start with sex, those are the two options. Women are scratching their heads wondering why men are ghosting them so much. It's because more often than not, the guy never really liked her all that much to begin with. He was just being driven by biology. And she should have known that. And in fact, I'm sure she did. She absolutely did. But she was too willing to offer him sex as a way to manipulate him in the future, to have control over him to some degree. And he realized that he did not want to be in that position. He realized that he did not have enough leverage in this relationship, and it would be no benefit to him staying in it. And that's why he ghosted her. What men really fear is losing their autonomy to a woman, especially one that they don't really care for that much. No matter how sexy she is or how beautiful she is, they don't want to lose their autonomy or be in a relationship with a woman who's going to dominate them. And that's the critical point I'm trying to make here. That's where masculinity comes in. Having healthy masculinity, being a strong masculine man, does not mean controlling everything in your environment, because that's an unrealistic expectation, or even controlling a woman, or even controlling a relationship. None of those things externally are that important. It misses the point. Masculinity is an internal characteristic, and controlling yourself is the ultimate expression of masculinity. When you have control over your urges, your desires, your needs, your direction, the way you spend your time, when you have self-discipline, when you can take or leave the external world to a certain degree without anger or resentment, but with the intention of making your life better and growing your intellect, your spiritual actualization, whatever it may be, when you can make decisions that are in your own best interests, not as a reaction to the outside world, but as a an action that is going to impact the outside world. Masculine men are not reactors. We are actors. And that is the critical element that you need to take into account, is that you take control of yourself, and by doing that, you influence the world around you. You don't try to externally control the world. You are in control of yourself, and because of that, the world is controlled by you to a certain degree, at least your world is. And it's something that happens passively. It's not something that happens through your trying to force people, dominate people. You know, you're not trying to make people act in particular ways. You're acting in a particular way, and they have to respond to you in the way that you choose. Does that make sense? It's like having boundaries. You know, when you have boundaries, you're not trying to control other people. You're just telling other people what you're willing to put up with and what you're not. And so if a woman is crossing your boundary, you know, you can say, oh, if you say, you've got to get out of here, well, now you're being dominant. Now you're being a tyrant. But if you say, I'm leaving because I can't put up with this behavior, well, now you're being masculine. That's the difference. That's the difference. It's about self-control. It's not about controlling the others. Women try to control men through access to sex. And we have to be able to understand that that is their mechanism of control. And it's because they also are extremely insecure. They don't have a solid sense of who they are as women. Part of that has to do with society and our culture and how screwed up things have gotten. But as a feminine woman in today's world, it's very difficult for her to have confidence that she can attract a man, a good man, without compromising her values and offering him a level of access to her body that she would not otherwise want to give. Do you know what I mean? If we start relationships from a place of confidence and self-awareness, and we believe wholeheartedly, we have faith that we are going to find the right match for ourselves, if we believe wholeheartedly that we can find that person that is a good, solid companion for ourselves and will fit into our lives, then we don't feel so the urgency to grant sex or to pursue sex so early in a relationship. And that's where I think our society has failed. And that's why right now we're at odds with one another in the gender wars. It's because men have been pursuing sex and women have been offering sex really early in relationships. Women know that men want sex and women want relationships, and men know that women will give sex in order to get a relationship. So what happens? Men will infer that they will offer a relationship in exchange for sex, and women will grant sex, and then men will go, I changed my mind. I don't think I want a relationship after all. And they ghost them. And then women get pissed off, and they get very sad. They feel like they've been used and abused. But in reality, we're all just victims of our own psychology. So then when a woman gets a nice guy, let's go back to our nice guys, you know, the guy that sticks around, the guy that doesn't ghost him, the guy that stays with it. Now she's offered him the sex, he's taken the sex, and he's addicted to the sex. And now she's back in control. Now she's got what she thinks is exactly what she wants. She wanted a man that would stay. She wanted a man that would make her an honest woman. You know, she gave him sex and he married her. He's a good man. He's a nice guy. Yeah, well, what ends up happening is that nice guy, who also is insecure about his masculinity, is going along with this, you know, externally motivated idea of what a man should be in a relationship, you know, from society and the media and all that. And he is really relinquishing a lot of his autonomy and authenticity to this new role that he is taking. You know, he's being this husband, he's being this father. And so he has lost who he actually is as a man, and he's trying to fill this role to the satisfaction of this woman who has all this sex that he wants. And he's getting less and less frequently, you know? So just like a junkie, you know, he's jonesing for it. He's jonesing for it. And he's starting to ask for it out loud. Like, honey, can we please just have sex? Please. She says, oh, I'm not in the mood. Oh, I'm tired. I got a headache. Oh, I've been up with the kids all night, or I've been working all day. You know, it's just one excuse after another, after another, after another, until that man finally comes to the conclusion that he's going to have to make a choice. And she sort of knows that he's got to come to this at some point. He's going to come to a crossroads. And now he may be 10, 15 years into this marriage, and he may have a bunch of kids, and he may have a beautiful house and a beautiful car and a beautiful wife. And he might say, this is not my beautiful wife. This is not my beautiful house. You know the song. And he's going, what do I do now? I've made all these commitments. I have come this far down this path. Now what? Now what? You know, do I just come to terms with this is my new reality and I just let it go? And I just decide that I'm going to accept this second-rate life that I jumped into without being fully aware, and I'm just going to go to my grave knowing that I fell short, that I made the wrong decision, that I took on the most important decision of my life and I fucked it up? Or am I just going to try to make it better, make it as good as it can be, take a, you know, try to polish this turd a little bit, you know, put lipstick on this pig, you know? Or am I going to walk away from it? And then I'm the villain, you know? If I cheat, or if I try to get my needs met somewhere else, or if I decide to divorce her, I am absolutely the villain. And I will have a huge price to pay morally, financially, you know, and relationally with my children and my own family potentially. So it becomes a no-win situation. And that's why women love a nice guy. And they love to divorce a nice guy. Because this guy, he's beaten. He's destroyed. He has no backbone. He doesn't know who he is. He's lost his masculinity. What little he had going in is certainly gone now. And without her guiding his life, he's kind of lost. He's kind of adrift. And so she's in control of this whole divorce. She's got the lawyer. She's got the house. She's got the money. And he's just waiting for the axe to drop, you know? I mean, literally just got his head on the block, just waiting for it to come. This is the way a lot of guys end up. If someone had told me when I was, I don't know, say 18 or 19 years old, that at age 60, I would be standing here about to tell you what I'm about to tell you, I would say, there's no way that will ever happen. I will never be that guy. Well, here I am, and I'm going to say it. I'm going to say it out loud. You guys need to not have so much sex, especially early in a relationship. You need to hold that thing together, because the minute you enter into a sexual relationship with a woman, you have created a devil's bargain. Yes, you've got the sex, but now you either have to choose one of two paths. Either you're going to stay with her, and you're going to play that game where she's got some kind of control over you, or you're going to have to ghost her, in which case you will be an asshole. That will not work. And that is the odds of that working out for you in the long run are slim. Sometimes it works. Sometimes it does. I mean, there's always the outliers. But for most guys, more often than not, that does not work. Because we're playing a game. We're pretending that she's just overwhelmed us with her beauty and her charm, and we're just gonna have sex with her because of that. But no, that's not what it is. She overwhelmed us with her breasts and everything else, and the pink mist, you know what I'm talking about. Yeah, it was a biological urge that we scratched. That's all it was. That's all it was. If you take your time and you fall in love with a woman over a length of time without the physical interaction, without having sex with her, say over the course of 2 or 3 months. Yeah, I know I'm talking like something that's almost miraculous. Like this is miracle level activity here. Go 2 or 3 months without having sex with her while expressing to her your physical desire, expressing to her that you really do care for her, that you really do feel like you're falling in love with her, that you think this is going someplace, so that she doesn't friend zone you. I mean, you got to play the game the right way. And you hold out, and then you make the decision as to when the sex is going to happen, because by the time it does, she's begging for it. Like, she's begging for it. Now the tables have turned, because now you're the one who's in control of the sex. You have put her in a position where she wants you. She desires you. You have an upper hand at the beginning of this relationship. And if you can maintain that upper hand and that dominant, masculine, internally masculine, dominant force over yourself, and you will be able to control this relationship. And you will be able to a large degree, decide the direction that it's going to go and the dynamics within the relationship are going to favor you from the very beginning. You're going to be able to set the frame. That's what I'm trying to think of. You're going to be able to set the frame for this relationship and the framework for your life. And then you've got a chance that this thing could actually work out, because you're not the nice guy anymore. You know what I mean? I mean, you can be nice to her. That's not what it's about. It's not about being, you know, cordial and friendly and being helpful and all that stuff. It's about respecting yourself enough to hold your boundaries and to let her know what those boundaries are and what the implications are for crossing them, and then not backing down from that. Because when you can do that, and you can have that level of control at the beginning of the relationship and set those boundaries throughout the relationship and set the framework for the relationship, you can create a safe space for her to exist. And if you create a safe space for a woman in a relationship, well, she will be quite satisfied most of the time. And when she does lose it, and she, as they always do, as she loses her composure and she becomes upset and whatever, well, there will be a method and a plan to resolve that. You will know how to bring her down, you know, get her off the ledge, if you will. And she will respect you for it, because you will be like the old cowboy that breaks the horse. You know what I mean? That horse always respects that cowboy, because he knows that cowboy knows how to deal with him. You know what I mean? And that's the same thing that you do with a woman. You need to be able to know how to deal with her, but you can only do it from a position of authority. And I hate to use the word power here, but you know, it's really self-control. That's really what it is. When you exhibit strong levels of self-control, you will control others, and you will control her through your self-control. All right, you guys, that's all I got for you today. I certainly hope you've enjoyed this video. If you have, please like and subscribe. If you know someone who might enjoy it or might need to hear it, please share it with them. In the meantime, stay healthy, and if you can, stay single.